Kafka. Good stuff. Avi, welcome. Come on in there. Okay, good morning. First of all, a special welcome to our guests. Shalimi, welcome. Max, welcome. Avi, welcome. Judah, welcome. Second of all, happy birthday. Happy 50th birthday. Today's the 50th birthday of the Gush. Gimel Kislev, 50 years ago, Rav Yoel ben Nun, Hanan Parat, Zichrono Livracha, came here on a windy day, come on in like today, and they started this miracle. So we'll see, the first class is coming back today. First class from 50 years ago, we had a big banquet last night. They're coming back today to retrace their steps. So this is the launch of our 50th year celebration. I'll just start, for those who didn't hear last night, there's a picture downstairs of the diary of one of the boys who came back. This is 5-6 months after the Six-Day War. You can imagine the scene. And in his diary, he wrote, Zaka'in harei Chevron shishema kol Torah. The mountains of Chevron once again can hear Torah. After thousands of years, the mountains of Chevron can once again hear Torah. Okay, so we're discussing Ben Zoma, 23rd parak of Avos Riv Nasan. Ben Zoma died early, Rav Shimon Ben Zoma. Never got smicha because he died early. He, like Ben Azai, was called Ben Zoma. These were two tanaim who didn't reach the age where they normally receive smicha. Very tragic. But ironically, he coined phrases that became cliches in all of civilizations. Ezeho sameh, ezeho ashiyot sameh b'chalka. We talked about that 2 days ago. Ezeho chacham halamein b'kal adam. So one of his three phrases that he coined, we'll discuss today. Ezeho gibor. So we typically associate strength with athleticism, military prowess. Of course, Ezeho gibor, hakovesh yisrael. So not much to add. Normally, Avos Riv Nasan is a compendium work to Perkei Avos. Perkei Avos is very concise. Avos Riv Nasan is very elaborate. Here, there's not much to add. So I'll discuss with you some of the features of Ben Azai's statement. First of all, Rashi. Rashi comments on the Mishnah in Avos. Hakovesh yisrael doesn't mean you don't feel certain urges or needs or desires. Man can't control the thoughts that pop into his head, especially in a world in which we're overstimulated and our minds are exposed and our eyes and our hearts are exposed. If you live in a more insular world, maybe you can limit it. Maybe you should think about creating more insularity when you grow up, because that's going to be one of the challenges of our world, where to draw lines, where to draw that sweet spot between exposure and insularity, between sophistication and purity. It's a very important concept. But inevitably, there will be ideas, thoughts, desires. Man has a heart. Man has natural needs. It's about, as Rashi says, Eino holech achav. Hakovesh means two things. A, you don't act upon it, obviously. But also, you don't engage in it. You move it out of your mind. You dismiss it. There are thoughts that move through your head. There are images that come through your consciousness. The question is, do you engage in them? Do you obsess about them? Do you accept them mentally and cognitively? So Rashi says, Eino holech achav. It's not just whether you choose to act upon them. That's obviously dangerous. Also, do you choose to indulge in them, to embrace them, to internalize them? Well, they come and they move, and don't punish yourself. A lot of times people punish themselves. I thought this, I considered that, and thoughts come through your mind. If you wipe them away quickly, you've eliminated them. You shouldn't really hold yourself accountable, as Rashi says, HaKovesh Es Yitzro. Interesting, Rashi doesn't say, the Mishnah doesn't say HaKovesh Es Yitzro Harash, but HaKovesh Es Yitzro. So first of all, two things. Number one, the Yitzro Hara is a very innate part of you, so in some ways it's more innate than the Yetzer Tov, because Chazal tell us that your Yetzer Hara develops before you even are born. When you gestate, your Yetzer Tov only happens when you're born or when you reach the age of 13. But it's very important, because I think people confuse this. On the one hand, Judaism believes that man is created good, potentially. We don't agree with Dostoevsky and with George Orwell, with all modern thinkers, that man is inherently decayed or rotten. Elokim asas Adam Tov, Heim b'kshu cheshbonot Rabim Shlomo says, Vayar Elokim ki tov me'od, when man was born, when man was created. So man in his heart is a good creature. But the Yetzer Hara is very, very overwhelming. There's a natural instinct for moral decomposure, for moral disintegration. So on the one hand, we're created with this inherent purity and nobility, and the Yetzer Hara is just so innate within us. So when Ben Zalman referred to the Yetzer Hara, he referred to a Yetzer. He didn't say a covetous Yetzer Hara. A covetous Yetzer, everyone knew that he meant not the Yetzer Tov, but the Yetzer Hara, which is your Yetzer, which is your urge. Second of all, of course, Ben Zalman is not just referring to a covetous Yetzer Hara, these desires, the lust, the jealousy. It's just your nature. A covetous Yetzer means that you are able to impose. We talked about the fact that this is the 50th anniversary of the yeshiva. One of Rav Lichtenstein's major traits that he taught us was being able to control and discipline yourself. He then shared 20, 25 minutes after the time because he wanted to teach us not to be slaves to our stomachs, not to be slaves to food, not to be slaves to sleep, but to be able to be Kovesh, Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayishlach, when he hears about in Parshas, well, we have to Vayetze, Parshas Vayishlach, when the brothers come back from Shechem, Behechresh Yaakov, to be Kovesh, your anger, to learn when to say something, not always is the right time to say something. You have Vivshamaris Adavar in Parshas Vayeshev, when he hears about the feuding brothers, says, you know what, I'll wait a little bit to see what will happen. So it's not just a Kovesh is Yitzra Hara, it's also just to learn to impose self-discipline and control and poise and timing and not just, I have a desire for money, I have a desire for drugs, I have a desire, I'm going to be kovish that. It's also just about learning the urges you have that are healthy, but when to express them, in what degree, what's the context you should or shouldn't. So intentionally, Ben Zalman did not say Yetzer Hara for two reasons. A, to highlight the fact that Yitzro is, there's certain basic urges that are very deeply wired. Number two, because HaKovesh is Yitzro doesn't just mean your Yetzer Hara, but it also means all your day-to-day activities. One of the great Musar schools in Europe was the Musar school of Kelm. We make fun of Kelm, all the stories about the crazy, stupid people of Kelm. Those are all artificial. The Kelm people were very smart, very intelligent. They formed a very famous school in Europe that even the Prussian king wanted to come and copy for all the schools in Prussia. So one of the traits they believed there was called Kvisha Sayetzer. They would all start davening, not like today where it's windy and rainy and everyone comes in when they choose to. Everyone would stand by their makom. So everyone was standing by their seat. Moment of silence, a second of silence. Asher Yishev Esechah Tzilach Hasela. Organization, imposition of discipline. The final issue I want to discuss is the pasuk. We don't all often see the pasuk. We all know the phrase, HaKovesh Yitzro. The pasuk is quoted from Mishlei. Tov Erech Hapai Migibor. If you're able to be long-tempered, we've talked a lot about anger management, we'll continue to. Okay. Umoshel Berucho. Here's the key part of the phrase. If you control your spirit, you're better than Milochet Ir, from someone who conquers a city. So that's the pasuk we don't always get exposed to. We know the phrase, not the pasuk. Tov Erech Hapai Migibor. If you're long-tempered, you're better than a strong person. V'moshel b'rucho, if you control your spirit, milochet ir, in capturing a city. Why this association or this metaphor to capturing a city? Capturing a city requires courage, requires cunning, requires bravery. One of the traits that Rav Amital taught us that it isn't found in the Musar Sfarim. I was always intrigued by how Rav Amital trained us as people beyond just the classic 10 traits you find in all the Musar Sfarim. Diligence, commitment, devotion, selflessness, humility, piety, those are the classics. Amital taught us there are many traits within the human experience that have to be perfected and advanced, and those traits, even though they may not be patently religious, they can be harnessed for religious growth. One of the things Amital spoke with us a lot, but more than speaking with us, he also demonstrated was courage. A man of incredible, incredible courage, having been through the Holocaust. In fact, last night they told the story, I don't know if you were listening, when at the first meeting with the boys from Merkaz Rav Kook, there was no Haaretz Yom, there was no Hesder Yeshiva, there was only one Hesder Yeshiva that wasn't seen as hot. They met with Rav Amital in his apartment in Givat Mordechai, and they said, we're afraid, how can you start a yeshiva in Kfar Etzion 6 months after the war? He said, Mi ha'ish ha'yarei v'racha levav yelech v'yashav levei. So he quoted the pasuk from Parsha Shoftim. The Kohen Gadol says, if you're afraid to go to war, go home, don't join. And then he said, it's on a kibbutz. Mi ha'ish ha'yarei v'racha levav. He just kept repeating the same pasuk to every question. Of course this is a challenge. Of course we're trying to change history. No guts, no glory. If you have no courage, you can't make that change. So you're right, come to the West Bank and try to rebuild the Gush. Who could have imagined that the Gush and Hebron and Yeshiva and no one's wildest dreams. You have to have a little bit of courage. Amital is a very courageous person. That's why he said in last week's parsha, that's why Esav's head was buried in Maaseh Machpelah. What did Yitzchak see in Esav? Courage. Here's a hunter. In order to restart the revolution that had receded, Avram's revolution, you needed someone not just who was erudite, but someone who's willing to take a risk. When you're hunting, to be aggressive, brave, courageous, be able to capture animals. So Yitzchak was a chacham. He understood who Yaakov was and who Esav was, but Yaakov he felt was feeble and weak, and he could be the support system, but Esav could be the vanguard, Esav could be the leader, willingness to take chances. So when it comes to your struggle with your Yetzer Hara, you have to be courageous. That's why Shlomo HaMelech compares it to Lochei Ir. It's like you're capturing a city. You have to find strategies, you have to have resilience, you fail sometimes, you feel frustrated by it. You have to have persistence and stick-to-itiveness. You have to be willing to take brave decisions. For this month, I'm going to cut myself off from you guys fill in the blanks. You have to to make decisions that are very difficult and show not just bravery, but also cunning and chachma. Where does it come from? It's very interesting that the pasuk doesn't just say, but it compares it to capturing a city because of the bravery and the courage that it requires. So three issues we talked about today. Number one, HaKovesh HaSisro doesn't mean you don't feel a Yetzer. It means you don't indulge in it. You don't follow the emotions and the urges. You just dismiss them. Learn to dismiss ideas and thoughts that come through your consciousness without being bothered by them. Even though they pop in, ideally they shouldn't pop in, but you can just dismiss them. Learn to be emotionally dismissive of things you don't want to think about. Number two, the Yetzer is an A. That's why it's called the Yetzer. But it doesn't just mean to suppress the Yetzer. It means to suppress general, to impose discipline upon who you are, to make decisions that are thoughtful, that are timed properly. When number three, the pasuk, "Moshel berucho milochid ir," it's like capturing a city. You need to be courageous. You need to be resilient. You need to have persistence and tenacity, and that's what Ben Zoma captured in this phrase. Welcome to our guests. Welcome, well, New Rochelle. We'll see what happens here.
White Plains.
Who's Shuldi Davidin in White Plains?
Young Israel, White Plains.